Good evening, listeners. This is Nick Elliott, Rock Art Photographer, and we're making another show for the Nick Elliott Podcasts series. This is a bit of a kind of ad-lib gig. We've actually been out in Hunstanton shooting the first programme of the new series of To Go Mad in Norfolk. So I'm joined by my co-presenter and, well, I call him a friend, but you know how it is, Andy Blythe.
Yes, thanks for that lovely introduction, Nick, as co-presenter. Is that how you think of me then, is it?
What, a friend or a co-presenter?
Well, I don't know what you think of me, really.
Well, this is a family show, so we've got to keep it clean.
Okay, well, at least I've got a witness here today.
Yeah, that is the legend that actually is drawing the crew for To Go Mad. He's going to be shooting a lot of the shows over the coming months, and that is Chris Smith.
Hello, thank you for having me on board, and thank you for calling me a legend as well.
I think you are.
Thank you. No, I appreciate that. I try to.
I think you are.
But thank you for having me on board, Nick. I really appreciate that.
And as I said, we're doing a bit of an ad-lib show. This was never scheduled, but we're all together. So we thought we'd take the opportunity to make a quick poddy for all you listeners and avid fans of the Nick Elliott Podcasts. Anyway, anything today's gone?
Really well, actually. What time did we turn up here? 11 o'clock?
Yeah, it was 11 o'clock. You was late, but...
Which is unusual
for me. We'll
skip
over that. It is, actually. You don't do late, do you?
Not normally. No, I'm normally very early.
At least two hours early.
I'm quite often catching Nick in his underpants.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And that's not when I'm, you know, taking photographs through the window.
Man's a goddamn peeping Tom.
That's okay, don't worry. He's caught me in my pants at least once.
Really?
Yeah.
Can we just lose the word pants? Because I get issues with my spine. It just kind of makes me shiver a bit. Pants.
You don't like that word?
No.
Do you also, people don't like the word? Moist.
Moist.
People shudder to that word. Oh, sorry, yeah. Listeners, if that made you shudder just then, but apparently that's a really uncomfortable word to say.
I think I could probably relate to that.
Mm. Oh, I really prefer like damp. That word.
But yours is pants though, right?
Pants, wheelchairs.
You don't like saying that word?
Not a lot. No.
Well, I've been saying that a lot on set, actually, haven't I? What, Darren, pants? Get the wheelchair.
Oh, I'll get the wheelchair. Yeah. But that's for filming, obviously.
But for filming, yeah.
Well, talk about that. Anyway, we've actually kind of been spending a lot of time together, the three of us, over the recent fortnight. We've been shooting a brand new feature film, written, produced, and starring Andy Blythe. And it's called Buying Time. Tell us a bit about the film, Andy.
Right, so the synopsis is, well, as people know, antibiotics are becoming less effective anyway, naturally. So I got the idea from that. And the idea is it's 2028. Antibiotics are no longer working effectively as they should do. And as a corporation called Lifeline has invented a chip that goes in your body and it gives you protection against those sort of infections that antibiotics would normally work for, and it works, and you can get it through the NHS. But also, if you've got money, you can have an upgrade. So you can buy an upgrade which will give you protection against more serious illnesses like cancer, that sort of thing. However, to be able to get the upgrade, it's 2028, computing power is restricted. For someone to have an upgrade, somebody has to die. And people die randomly, and it's the people that have got the NHS chip. So the guy that's in charge of Lifeline is in bed, not literally in bed, but is in cahoots with the health minister. And it's all about power and money. And the story is about a guy called Daniel Avery, whose wife and child have died randomly. And he's been getting these flashbacks, and he suddenly starts to investigate why this has happened, why is he getting these flashbacks. And he comes across a rebel group called Anon. And together, they try to bring down the corporation. So it's a bit of a drama, thriller, crime-ish sort of film. And
don't forget a sprinkle of action.
A sprinkle of action. And Chris is directing it for me. We worked on a previous film together, which was New Year's Eve, which was a short film that I did the camera work on. And I said, I've got this idea. Would you help me do it? And he said, yeah. And obviously, there's some guy, I can't remember his name, called some guy doing behind the scenes photographs. And he's playing a character called, well, what's his name? Called JT, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Some guy called Nick Elliott. I don't know who he is, but
is that his name?
Yeah, yeah, Nick Elliott.
I've been saying Bick all this time.
Yeah, yeah, but he's it's just to make him feel better.
Make him feel part of the team.
Make him feel part of a team. But yeah, that's the feature film.
Sounds good. I mean, you mentioned that it's obviously futuristic slightly, set in the year 2028.
Yeah.
Is the reason behind that because that's how you see the kind of medical situation going, or the NHS? And
well, I think, like I say, it was based upon the fact that antibiotics have become less effective. People talk about conspiracy theories of chips and stuff, and you know, it's potentially something that could happen in the near future.
Right.
You know, it's only a few years ago, 2028, it's quite possible with the enhancement of technology and all those sort of things. I understand that Elon Musk has already had a chip in somebody's brain, which was in January this year, so perhaps I saw into the future, I don't know.
Right.
But it's a film about something that potentially could take place, and people may have concerns that, you know, with that sort of technology, that when money's involved, that people might take advantage of that are in power.
Right, okay. Sounds, well, I know, it's quite exciting. I mean, I've really enjoyed my time on it, which has obviously not been as in-depth as you guys, but I've really enjoyed the time on it, and we've got a really, really nice collection of work that's come off the back of it, stills, which obviously, as you know, for the listeners' kind of review, we're going to create a fine art coffee table book out of the collection, which will run alongside the film, which I think would be a nice thing to do. How you feel about it, Chris? I mean, I know you've been heavily involved in it, haven't you? It's been a big, big project for you.
Absolutely. I think it's a big scale project, something that I didn't think I was going to do again in the future. But again, Andy came on board and asked if we could do this film, and we'll partner up together, and it's been brilliant. And we're sorry.
You've got quite a history, haven't you, filmmaking?
Yes. Directed a couple of a few features and short films and stuff like that. And again, me and Andy worked on a short beforehand, so it was the short film was pretty much like a little learning curve between us, getting to know each other properly. Right. And then this time it's the full obstacle course of a film, which I think we've pulled off quite rather well, haven't we, Mr. B?
Yeah, we have. I think I know when I first spoke to Chris and I showed him the script, he looked at some of the locations. Oh, this is a bit ambitious. And I said, well, yeah, it'll be all right. And we have been very, very lucky. I've been able to buy quite a few locations free in terms of some of the scenes, and beyond what I expected in terms of those places, which all helps. And the amount of people that have come on board is amazing. I think we're up to roughly about, in terms of in the film, including people doing extra parts and stuff, we're up to about 75-80 people.
Is there really?
So that's amazing. And if you add the crew, people that have helped out with crew and stuff like this, best part of nearly 100 people involved in this film.
Goodness me. I mean, as I mentioned earlier, I've only spent bits of it, time on it, because the need for me to be there wasn't as necessary as it was obviously for you guys. And I'd met quite a few people, but I didn't realise there was that many people involved in it.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, it's amazing, really, that people have sort of took to it. They like the script. When I tell people the story, they sort of go, oh, that's interesting, I like that. And people have really come on board. And I think because we've been able to put out some trailers, people have seen the quality of the trailers, the quality of the film stills from that, and some of the, and obviously from the trailers themselves, people have thought, oh, hang on a minute, this is quite a serious project. Even though there's no budget, they've sort of seen the quality that's coming out of it, and that's why they've wanted to come on board, I think.
Have you worked with these people before, all of them, or are they a high percentage new to your kind of acquaintance?
I would say between myself and Chris, probably, I would guesstimate in terms of people in the film, probably, what, 50 to 60% of people we knew. Probably about 40% are sort of new people that have come on board. We've made some new friends out of this. And people have just come on board in different ways, not just actors, but people have helped out with locations, people have helped out on crew, just doing what they can, and it's just been a real collaborative project.
Because some of the locations have been really mean, haven't they? They've been really, really good.
Yeah, and also just a special shout-out to Darren Joy, who was our digital imaging technician. Done a brilliant job. He was pretty much our spare arm, basically, making this film, and he's done a really good job. Never moaned once, did he?
He hasn't. No, he's just said... He's been there setting up the technical stuff, and he's just said, OK, right, what do you want me to shoot? And it's just worked really well. Just really well.
You know. Had you met Darren before?
I've never met Darren. He came to my house, and I had no idea who he was.
Right.
Didn't think he was there for the film. He brought his bags, and I just thought he was a stranger.
Okay.
Asking for a drink and some shelter. And,
yeah.
And he was, I'm here for the film. I thought, right, you're Darren. Right. Okay, yeah.
Because you often take people into your gaff, don't
all
you?
All the time, yeah.
Like after shelter.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Trying to sleep with them most of the time.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Now, yeah. I put a shout out on Facebook on East Anglia Film Network, I think it was, for people, and Darren was one of the people that sort of put his hand up, so to speak, and said, yeah, I'll come along, I'll give you a hand, and he's been amazing.
Yeah.
Well, I know the time that I've spent with him, I got on with him really well, and he's got quite a CV, hasn't he?
He has, yeah. Yeah, he's worked on... He's quite reasonably new to the industry, I think...
Yeah, relatively new. But you two met on the set of Boudicca.
Well, we didn't meet on the set, actually.
Oh, you didn't actually meet?
No, we were both... I just played an extra role in there. Darren was sort of DIT on there, or camera assistant, or whatever it was on there. And we didn't know that each other were on that film. But obviously we spoke about that once we met. But yeah, it's been amazing.
So what kind of stage are you with the film at the minute?
I've got one more pretty much very, very, very small scene to shoot, which is a couple of flashbacks. I'm in post-production, so I'm starting to edit. And that's going well. So I edit, I do a rough edit. I mean, Chris got our heads together and we say, okay, this is where we're at. Chris gives me some pointers. And that's probably his phone going off now.
Possibly.
Apologies.
Don't worry.
It's obviously, you know, somebody else wants him to direct their film.
I think it was.
Yeah. It could be.
I think it was another offer.
Really?
Oh, it goes off the hook every 20 minutes.
Okay.
But then we brought him on board for Two Go Mad.
Yeah, brilliant. How do you think the day's gone? First day on the gig?
Oh, it's brilliant. I'm a fan of the show, so it's quite nice to come on board as a fan and shoot some stuff and... you guys trust me on board to shoot stuff and capture things, which I'm honoured about. And yeah, I think it's a good first day for it in Hunstanton. And the weather was a bit unpredictable, but very good overall. I think got some good footage, I think.
The important question is, did you have a giggle?
I did have a giggle, yes. I think my favourite part might be the swarm of birds over you. And then I think it was that man in the scooter.
Graham.
Yes.
Yeah, young Graham.
He was a good man to interview, I'd say.
We did a bit of a Vox Pops gig along the prom at Hunstanton and bumped into a lovely family and a guy called Graham that was in his mobility scooter and he could sing. So we had a bit of a sing-song and a dance, didn't we?
We did. Well, is that what you were doing?
I was dancing.
Right.
Didn't you see some shapes, some moves going on?
I saw something, but I don't know what it was.
Yeah, it was dancing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it was dancing. I was grooving it, man.
There's dad dancing and there's Nick dancing.
I weren't dad dancing, that is for sure.
No, you're telling me you weren't.
Fucking
it weren't that good.
Dear, oh dear. Hey, why do I bother?
No.
Why do I bother with these people? I'm an artiste.
I thought you were good at dancing, don't worry.
Yeah, you did.
Well, I captured it. I saw the magic. He wouldn't have a good angle. I did.
That's one of the reasons you're on the squad, Chris.
Thank you.
Because you're a man of culture. You know, class, style.
And a man of my word, yes.
Indeed, Ski.
Mm-hmm.
I mean.
So why am I on this crew, then?
Just some kind of malingering
fucker.
Most people
Most people.
You, can we film you?
All right, yeah, Andy, get Andy to speak to everybody. Do you want to speak to them, Nick? No, you ask him.
Well, Andy, because I've got a bit of a breath issue going on, you know, with this chest infection. So, you know, and if I have a giggle, I just burst into a coughing fit, which is a bit antisocial. Medical problems, not the way forward at all. But I think we've got a good show out of today, don't you?
Yeah, I think we have. We had a good time. It was, despite the weather, we spoke to some lovely people on the stalls there, didn't we, at Huntstanton, for the food and what was it, food and drink.
Yeah, because that's initially what kind of pulled us here, wasn't it, for that event?
Yeah. So that was good. I had a couple of bevvies. Well, not much, but...
You did, didn't you? You had a couple of tizers, and so we stopped at a gin stall, we only had just a little sip. But that kind of lay quite well with you, didn't it? And Chris certainly enjoyed it, didn't you?
Oh, it was quite a kick. I like that gin. I want to get more of that.
Really?
Still want to know what percentage it was.
It was heavy duty. For me, it was, man.
Burnt the tunnels.
Yeah. You could have run an F-16 on the fucker. It was. It had got some kick. It really had.
It knocked you back, didn't it?
Oh, no, I don't do gin anyway, but it was strong. Bloody strong stuff. I don't know who that was, who the company was. Do you?
I can't remember off the top of my head.
No, can't remember.
You just got stuck into the tizer.
Oh, it did. Might have captured the tent. Who knows? But, yeah.
Well, I think it's on film, isn't it?
Might be.
Yeah, it'll feature in the show, I think.
Yeah. But they'll be, we need to watch the show to find out, don't
Indeed.
You?
Indeed. And we're on Amazon Prime. We are. The first three shows that we did on Amazon Prime, we've had such a good response from general public, and that's global, really. All over the place, isn't it? A lot of people have kind of mailed in, and you know, who we've met and said, fantastic, you know, what a great show, which really is what's kind of made us decide to do more, isn't it?
Yeah, and you can also watch it on, if you haven't got Amazon Prime, you can also watch it on Tubi. I know that's only in America and Canada, but if you use a VPN, virtual private network, and you download it for free VPN, you can watch it then.
It's well worth the tune in, definitely.
Yeah. It's a good show to watch with your girlfriend or your mum or dad or son.
Or some vagrant who's banging on your door looking for shelter.
Yeah. I put my arm around them as well while watching it.
Because I know you kind of watched the shows, Chris, didn't you? What did you think to them?
I thought it was really funny. I forgot it's definitely got that sort of 70s comedy to it, and, you know, it doesn't have to make sense. It's one of those shows that just, this is it, take it or leave it. And I took it and I loved it.
That's what we heard. Lee does that a lot.
Really?
He takes it and he loves it.
Really?
Yeah.
I think it's good to love.
Especially with you two.
Yeah. Do you think? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you're a lover, not a fighter, aren't you, Chris?
Oh, yeah. And a grower, not a shower as well.
Oh, okay, yeah.
A grower, not a shower?
I'm English, you see, so.
Okay.
I don't understand that.
No, I don't understand. You have to explain that one for Chris.
Oh, well.
Oh, is that for another day?
Yeah, another day, maybe.
Another show, we'll save that then, dearest.
Is that a bit of a funny show?
Might be.
Okay.
That'll be the late version.
Okay. Past 9.
Like Hollyoaks.
And you'll need a password.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, right. Parental guidance needs to be on as well.
Oh, got to be done.
But it was good. Good.
Yeah, I think it's been a great day. I really do. I think it's been really good. Like you said, the weather was been absolutely bloody rubbish. Typical kind of England, really. Piss the rain, cold as bastards. But there was a lot of people out, weren't there?
There was a fair few people out. I think they did really well, the stores, apparently. Mm. Most of them sold out. You got some fudge. You were happy, weren't you?
We got a big box of fudge. Donated by, I can't remember her name.
No, I'll be in the show. You have to watch it.
Yeah, I have to watch the show to get the girl's name who donated the fudge.
You'll have to watch it because we can't remember the episode either.
No, only that she didn't want to be on camera, did she?
No.
But she did give a box of fudge.
That's all that mattered.
Totally.
Did for you.
Yeah.
I've had a sugar overload today. You've had donuts as well, haven't you?
We had donuts, and Andy B tried to laden my hat with donuts. So the ghouls attack me. I mean, what do you think to that, listeners? Eh?
You can hear them shouting now, can't you, saying, well done, Andy.
And this guy's got sons. I mean, dear oh me. You know, what do you do?
Well, Chris enjoyed watching it, didn't you?
Enjoyed filming everything.
Everything?
Everything.
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 Just everything.
Just everything, as long as you two.
Right. I like this bloke, don't you?
He's all right.
Yeah.
I need someone to hold the camera.
Well, no, it's a bit more than that with me. I mean, when we first met, we just fell in love, didn't we, man?
We did.
Well, we did.
The last podcast we did, yeah.
Oh, well, he's been carrying your bag for you.
I know he has today. Well, you see, proper friends. That's what it is, you see. They're there. They offer.
Sympathetic friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas I just watch you struggle.
Yeah, totally. But this man's at your side.
Mm.
You know, like a good compadre.
Smokers before brokers.
Indeed, Ski.
I just made that up. Did you like that?
I quite like that.
Good, good. Yeah. I'm trademarking that.
Yeah. It's nonsense, so it works very well on this show, don't it?
Perfect.
Yeah, no bastard understands it, so we print it.
Got to do some more episodes then.
We are. We're going to do some more episodes very soon. We didn't expect to get the content that we've got here today because of the weather. But I think we've got a full show. Would you not agree? We probably won't use it like that, but...
Yeah. We'll see when it comes to the edit. But, you know, I've got an hour or so before I can edit it.
So, what's your kind of future plans, or should I say, you know, near future plans?
For what?
Well, for To Go Mad and filming. I know we've got a few things in the pipeline.
Well, for me, I've got to finish the post-production on Buying Time. Obviously, I'll start to put together the edit from today for To Go Mad. I've got a couple of things in the pipeline. We've got Short Days, Long Shadows.
Yep.
To look at shooting with yourself.
Yeah.
And we've already been discussing it with Chris. We are thinking of, well, I'm thinking of writing a second film that follows on from Buying Time. But that's all I'm going to say at the moment. I'm not going to disclose any more.
Mm.
Could be a different project altogether. You never know.
Could be.
Never know.
Stay tuned, listeners.
Yeah. Or we might do a remake of Debbie Does Dallas.
Enlighten me.
Yeah, Chris is Debbie.
Really? Who's Dallas?
You must know what Debbie Does Dallas is.
No, I don't. I've missed that one.
All right, okay.
What's Debbie Does Dallas?
You'll have to Google it when you get home.
Oh, go on, give us a clue.
I think it was a naughty film back in the 70s.
Was
it? Yeah.
Debbie Does Dallas?
Yeah.
Hell's teeth.
That was when, what, you had VHS back in the day? Or?
He's trying to show his age now, isn't he? Talking to me as though I'm old.
Yeah.
Video player.
Yeah, video, Andy.
Video.
Video,
VHS.
Remember that. Yeah.
VHS or Beta Max.
Or Beta Max, one of the two.
Yeah. It's just not fair picking on me like that.
I think it is. I think people should pick on you more regularly.
You should pick on people who aren't sympathetic to people with chest infections.
I totally agree. Don't offer to carry your bags. Mm. Them kind of people need picking on big fucking time.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think?
Oh, Yeah.
So this is why I invited Chris to the podcast, so that you two can gang up on me.
It was definitely in there, on the menu, when we kind of spoke about it.
I feel used and valued.
Used and valued?
Yeah.
But it was premeditated.
To take the piss out of you.
Yeah.
So I felt good about it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So he's brought a lot of you know, qualities to the gig.
Chris brings a lot of qualities to every gig.
I think so too.
Yeah, well, we need it.
Well, I think...
he says, looking at Nick.
we'll skip over that. We'll skip over that. I'll rub that bit out. Anyway, guys, it's been a great day. Thanks for coming on the show, Nick Elliott Podcasts. Make sure that you listeners keep tuning in. This was a little bit more serious than what we usually do, but I think the show warranted that. Until next time, we're going to all say bye-bye, and that's a signing off from the Three Musky Queers.
TTFN.
Yeah, whatever he said. Bye.
I've been Nick Elliott, rock art photographer, and I've enjoyed it. Thanks for listening. Stay safe. Love you all.